Let's head to the BetQL guest hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Baldy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Baldy.
I'm doing terrific here.
Here's a question for you, Baldy. Have you ever participated in an NFL survivor pool?
Did we lose Baldy?
You left him speechless.
Your question. You just,
I'm sorry.
He's beside himself. He's apoplectic.
He couldn't believe the opening question.
Yeah. He was not prepared for that opening question.
Yeah, so he said, you know what? I'm not here to talk about survivor pool.
Like, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
I'm going to place a $2 wager.
Okay.
If you're willing to take me up
probably
on it.
Probably no.
The answer is no.
Yeah. Just wondering. Just want to get his thoughts.
I would probably lean towards.
I just want to get his thoughts on taking the Colts on the road against the Packers.
He's too busy watching and breaking down tape all the time and film.
Yeah, and doing deep sea diving.
Yeah, he loves diving. He can't have time for a survivor pool. Baldy, I think we got you back. Are you there?
Baldy?
I'm all set here, guys. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I'm here.
All right, did you
we just assumed you were offended by the question.
Yeah,
give it to me again.
All right, have you ever participated in an NFL survivor pool?
No.
Okay. The reason I asked that is because we were in a big one. There's a one out in Vegas called the Circa Pool. It's a $1,000 entry. Then the winner gets $14 million. That's how many people enter this. But we took this.
I know that casino out there pretty good.
Yeah. Well, they host this thing. And we took the Cincinnati Bengals the very first week. All right. Yeah. They were the biggest favorite on the board against the Patriots. And obviously, you know what happened. And we're just kind of flipping it forward to Monday night against the Commanders. The Bengals should have beaten the Chiefs last week. And give us your thoughts on that game and how that finished. But the Bengals are desperate for a win at home on Monday night. And we've seen how the Commanders' offense has struggled, certainly in the red zone. Just want to kind of get your thoughts on the Bengals and how desperate they are, even though they've had some, you know, like T. Higgins out and they've got some injuries. But I just think that they're going to get a win.
I mean, I did that game last week in Kansas City.
Right.
So I saw it. I mean, that was a gut punch. They were up by 2 points with under 2 minutes to go, and the Chiefs were faced with the 4th and 16.
Yep.
And Mahomes threw the ball, you know, a young rookie, jumped over the back of Rashee Rice, and they got a first down and made another first down, and then Harrison Butker came out there and kicked, I think, a 53-yard field goal to win it, you know.
Yeah. What did you think of that defense? What did you think of that defensive call only to rush three guys on that play?
Well, I mean, they're just playing to keep it all in front of them. And, you know, look, I have a lot of respect for Lou Anarumo. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. And there's a lot of teams that would play just play the sticks and keep everything. I mean, you want to give up 14 yards on 4th and 16? You know, either way, it's a turnover. And the kid just made – look, he's a rookie. He just made an aggressive mistake, and it hurt him, and it cost him the game. But I wouldn't put it all on him. They got the ball to their tight – all three tight ends had an unbelievable day. They moved the ball really well. They outplayed the Chiefs in that game. They took it away, I don't know, three times. They had great opportunities to win that game. Probably outplayed them for most of the game.
Joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So on the other side, the Commanders on the road against the Bengals. You tweeted about Jaden Daniels about 12 hours ago at Baldy NFL about him being off to a good start. Talk about what you've seen and also talk about how frustrating the false starts were for the offensive line when the Commanders kept getting into the red zone and then they were continually backed up against the Giants.
Well, I mean, that's just – those things are drive killers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just are. They just put you behind the sticks. You know, you've got to overcome those kind of things. It affects everything. It affects how you attack the defense. It affects field position. You know, they move the ball continuously. I mean, the final drive was great. I mean, the throw to Noah Brown over the middle, you know, really killed the Giants, got him in the field goal range there with under 2 minutes to go. So that was a big-time throw by Jaden. But, yeah, I mean, those things are drive killers. Every coach, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, I mean, nobody's happy when those things happen. You know, they basically, you know, look, Cornelius is doing the best he can. He's been in this league. I like Cornelius personally. So, I mean, I knew that kid when he was in college. For that kid to still be in the league 10 years, 11 years now, it's pretty remarkable that he's still out there. But, you know, it's just they got to be able to, what they call, hold the water right there in that situation.
Do you put all of that on the offensive line, or could some of that be just the cadence and maybe just miscommunication from a young quarterback?
Yeah, you hope, you know, you don't want to, the quarterback's got to do what he's got to do. I mean, you do get more comfortable the more you're around a particular quarterback, but I wouldn't put that on Jaden. That, you know, the job of the, you know, offensive line is basically move when the ball moves and not before that.
Right.
And, I mean, you got to listen to it and everything, but sometimes you just got to trust your eyes, you know, and just be able to stretch your eyeballs, see the ball, and see your man at the same time.
Have you been impressed by Jaden so far?
Yeah, I have. I've been impressed. I've been impressed by, look, I mean, he's run 26 times.
Yes.
That's not a good formula. I mean, there's a couple of designed runs for sure. On that final drive, there's a good run. But for the most part, you know, that week one against Tampa, I don't know, Todd Bowles was blitzing them when they were up by 25 late in that game. In the final 2 minutes, he was still blitzing. I mean, he saw a color coming. He was going. And, you know, last week there was a lot of runs where I think he could still stay in there an extra tick. I'm not going to tell him not to go. He's so good at it. But, you know, I saw the Giants last week plant him into the turf by two rookies, that Tyler Newbin and Andrew Phillips. And that's not a – like nobody – look, he's not a big kid to begin with. But nobody is going to survive. Josh Allen is going to survive those kind of hits if you continue to put yourself in that position.
Baldy, I know what you haven't been impressed by, and you tweeted about this yesterday too. The NFC East as a whole's run defense. The Commanders are allowing 4.6 yards per carry. The Cowboys, 4.9 yards per carry. The Giants, 5.3 yards per carry. And the Eagles allowing nearly 6.5 yards per carry against opposing rushers. Like, something's got to change going forward for these teams, or they're just going to get gouged every single week.
Well, they are, and that's where the league is going right now. The teams, you know, I mean, I saw Joe Mixon carry it 30 times against the Colts week one. He had 159 yards. They went up that same Indianapolis Colts, or that same Houston team last week, saw the Chicago Bears, and the Bears completely shut them down. And all it was just good run fits, gap defense, gap integrity, and they just squeezed the run, and Joe Mixon had nowhere to go. And, you know, he popped one run last week, but he was nowhere near. I mean, he averaged less than 2 yards a carry last week. But when you play good run defense, and that's what Matt Eberflus did last week, I mean, you can see the difference. I mean, the Eagles have no idea what gap defense looks like. You know, they're just very, very undisciplined. I don't know what's being taught by Vic Fangio, but it's an issue. Dallas had the same thing happen to him last week. I mean, New Orleans ran around them. They ran through them. You know, look, it's nobody wants that on the resume right now. And so that's, if you don't fix that, and, you know, I always say September's the new August, all right? You know, nobody really does anything in training camp anymore. But this is, if you can't get your run defense fixed, I know plenty of coordinators that go, okay, we'll run it 40 times today, and we'll melt the clock, and we'll control the game.
And Baldy, the Eagles better buckle up, because they have a road trip this weekend to New Orleans.
Sure do.
And you touched on them. They've scored 91 points. Clint Kubiak has been running a masterclass with the pre-snap motion and the complex looks he's giving defenses. So the Eagles, they've got...
AJ probably going to be out again.
They've got a lot to deal with this road trip this weekend to the Superdome.
There's no doubt. I mean, they could have easily won that game last week if Saquon catches that ball in the end, or if they run it instead of throwing it on third and three. They probably win that game, and maybe we're looking at, you know, clash of the Titans this week. But defensively, look, they have in their defensive line in the first 2 weeks, they put a lot of resources in that defensive line. There's a bunch of first-round picks. There's a free agent that they paid $51 million to. That defense line has one sack in two games. They're not pressuring the quarterback, and Derek Carr is the highest-rated quarterback, so I'm close to anybody else in this business right now. They're they fixed their offensive line. That Taliese Fuaga is a mountain of a man at left tackle, and they're a left-handed team. They run behind him a bunch. He's been excellent. That's a difficult offense. I'm going to be down there on Sunday. That's a difficult offense to defend. It's interesting, though, like every team is a little bit different in their approach. Even this, like, little kind of silly big nothing burger kickoff rule, that team has put every kickoff in play so far. They don't believe in kicking it out of the end zone. They believe in covering the kick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've limited the other team's starting field position to the 27-yard line. Doesn't sound like a lot, but I believe that your defense is an extension of your kickoff coverage team. They're letting their linebackers and defensive backs go down there and make tackles. I'm kind of actually looking forward to talking to some Saints about that and what their thinking is.
Baldy, when you look at the schedule this week, mm-hmm. Now I realize that, you know, now that we've added a game to the regular season, going 0-2 isn't as bad percentage-wise. But still, you're 0-2, you're looking at 0-3, and I don't know what the percentages are, 0-3 of making the playoffs, but it can't be good. But there are some teams, I already mentioned the Bengals at 0-2, so they're desperate. The Ravens,
Jacksonville
playing in Buffalo at 0-2, and Trevor Lawrence has looked terrible. The entire offense has in 2 weeks. The Ravens are going on the road to play Dallas at 0-2. I think the Rams are done because of their injuries, so they're probably cooked. Mm-hmm. But how many of these 0-2 teams do you feel like they still have a legitimate chance?
Mm-hmm.
Ravens, I guess you believe they do.
I believe they do, although, you know, I mean, how far can you fall behind Pittsburgh right now at 2-0? And, you know, defensively they're playing as good as anybody in this business. And they're kind of hanging in there. And, you know, it's going to be a great game, actually. One of the better games this week with the Chargers going there and the style of play,
right,
you know, that Jim Harbaugh is emphasizing right now. So that's going to be great. I mean, seeing the rookie Joe Alt against T.J. Watt, I can't wait to watch that, just that little individual battle. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Houston and Minnesota, both those teams are 2-0. Somebody's going to be 3-0. And who would have thought that Minnesota could be in that position? But, yeah, if Baltimore falls to if they fall, you know, to 0-3 with a trip to Dallas, that's going to be a difficult crypt to come out of. They're certainly, you know, but even at 0-3, if you figure out what isn't working, whatever that is for any team, you know, all you got to do is start stacking some wins, and you can climb out of it. Might, you know, not be until November, but you can get back out of it if you start putting that streak together.
So, Baldy, you got a game tonight, Patriots at the Jets. I saw you did a film breakdown of the Jets. Obviously, the spotlight's always on Aaron Rodgers, but it's the two running backs doing the damage there, right?
They scored all the touchdowns last mm-hmm. week. You know, they were really – I mean, if you went out to any OTA or you went out to, you know, summer camp this year, they drafted two running backs, Braylon Allen in the third round, Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. They're both huge. I mean, Braylon Allen's 240. But the one thing that jumped out at any practice you went to, they both catch the ball really well. Hmm. And as does Breece Hall. And they scored all the touchdowns last week, one on a screen, one on a go route to Breece Hall. They put him out there on the outside against the middle linebacker, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't looking at anybody else but Breece Hall through an absolute dime. They hope to be able to stay in their offense, keep the running game going, and be able to run both backs. And, you know, if you get Braylon Allen up to 10 carries in a game, which is possible, he's going to punish you. Like, he is a big, strong, tough back. I mean, a lot like Brian Robinson is. He's probably bigger than Brian, but he's very talented. The two of them are a real strength to this offense.
All right, last question, Baldy. Give me your thoughts on the struggles that Bryce Young's going through. Just kind of watching him on the sideline, on the bench, when coaches are coming over to talk to him after he throws a pick or they have a bad drive. He's got zero confidence, zero. And, of course, he's been benched. So give me your thoughts on how they've played it. Do you think that they should have benched him? And, well, I don't know, what do you think the future is for the kid?
Well, I don't know if it's a permanent benching, but, you know, his first pass against New Orleans a couple weeks ago was an interception.
Right.
You know, I mean, he threw it. Now, I don't know what Deontay Johnson was doing. He looked like he gave up on the route, so the quarterback falls on the quarterback. But the problem right now, and probably why he got benched, is you can see, and they've been dreadful in offense, but they're dreadful everywhere right now.
Yes, they are.
But none of the team has confidence in them. You could just see how the receivers, you know, when it's another errant throw or just a scramble or whatever it is, they're just walking off the field hanging their heads. And the quarterback isn't giving the team any confidence. And so you go to Andy Dalton, all right, I don't know, you know, I'm sure he's going to play better than what Bryce is playing, but they might have just gotten this whole thing wrong. He might have just been a great, great player at Alabama and a real leader on a team that was loaded and on a team that isn't very good around him and has had nothing but changes since he's gotten there, from firing the staff to new coaches, new general managers. Like, all of the transition isn't helping him at all. But that being said, you just don't see the necessary skills. It's early, but you just don't see the necessary skills that you need to move an offense.
He could be the next Zach Wilson.
Well, I mean, Zach, he could be. Yeah, mm-hmm. He could be. I mean, Zach won a few games. You know, I mean, he made some good throws. I just don't think he really understood their offense at any point.
Mm.
And he was another guy that got caught up in all the transition and everything else that was going on around him.
Baldy, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good time in New Orleans covering Saints-Eagles.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, thanks, sir. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Don't forget Dave Richard talks fantasy football week 3 with us coming up at 8 a.m.